This is The Dean's Desk with Kurt Mueller, Dean of the Faculty of Communication, Art, and Design.
Welcome, everyone. Real treat today. Our guest today is David Kincaid. He's a managing partner of one of Canada's leading strategic brand consultancies, Level 5 Strategy Group. He founded that company in 2002 after a really remarkable and stellar career working for some of Canada's biggest companies. David Kincaid is also an inductee into Canada's Marketing Hall of Legends. That happened in 2013. And he's come all the way down from Gravenhurst to chat with us today. Really appreciate your time, David. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Honored to be here.
So, David, you've made some fantastic observations about branding and marketing that I want to get into, but maybe we can start with what got you into this career in the first place?
Well, it's a very good place to start because, you know, they always say, don't expect your career path to be linear. Well, I'm a classic example of that. I was off to be a lawyer and graduated from Queen's. And back then in the 70s, it was called pre-law. So it was political science, economics, all that kind of thing. And had written the LSATs, and I was ready to go. And I managed to get some interviews. My father always said, good advice, whenever you get a chance to take an interview, take it. It's you figuring out how to present yourself properly. Little did I know that would become kind of a foundational element to what I ended up doing from a career standpoint. But I thought, yeah, that's a pretty good idea. I'll do that. And started doing them with, you know, the banks. And back then, the big packaged goods companies were the big prizes that you want, the MBA students wanted. And I got a chance to interview with a company called General Foods back then. Today, I guess it's Kraft. And long story short, received an offer. And I thought, well, this is kind of weird because I'm going off to law school. And I remember getting on the train to go back to Kingston and I opened the envelope and I say, well, you know, I want to wish you opportunity to join the company, et cetera, et cetera. Here's the position. And your compensation is $20,000 a year. Now, today, that doesn't even cover your restaurant budget for a year. But back then, like that was big change.
Yeah.
So I thought, wow, okay, I might want to rethink this. So I'll do it for a year or two, get some good experience, and then go back to law school. And here I am, 45 years later, never went back to law school. And I tell you that only because I think, especially from a student audience standpoint, it's a very important kind of life lesson that I learned that I like to pass on, which is it's always good to go in with a plan. But don't go in with a set plan because sometimes opportunities present themselves and you've got to be astute enough to see them and to be able to act on them. And I'm so glad, obviously, that I took that opportunity and that chance with General Foods. When I went to GF, though, another quick fun story, had two wonderful bosses and they met me in the lobby and trotted me back to my office. Everyone back then had offices. And they said, you're going to work on roast and ground Maxwell House coffee. And I thought, well, okay. I'm not a big coffee drinker back then. But I remember they had Ricardo Montalban as a spokesperson.
I remember those.
Yeah. And I thought, wow, this will be kind of cool because, you know, I'm in marketing now and brand and I'll get a chance to meet Ricardo Montalban. So they said, okay, so here's all these things. And they didn't have what you've got today. Nothing was digital. Hell, these things didn't even exist. So they slapped all these big wads of paper. Like, here's your AC Nielsen report, your volume shipment reports, your warehouse withdrawals, your blah, 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 your P&L by brand, by SKU. And I'm just kind of nodding at them. And I said, okay, well, that's cool. And they said, take the week, get to know your teammates, find out where the washroom is, where the coffee machine is, and look over all this material and come to us at the end of the week before you leave on Friday. Just book 15 minutes and give us a few of your observations and thoughts on how we might be able to add half a point to the merchandising margin on roast and ground Maxwell House. And I said, yeah, you bet. And they walked out the door and I can remember sitting there honestly going, add a what to a who? Like, I had no clue what they were even talking about. Zero. I said, where's Ricardo Montalban? Man, I'm missing something here. And I freaked because I quickly realized, and I'm telling you this story for a reason. I wasn't hired to do advertising. I wasn't even hired to do just what they would call marketing. I was hired to grow the value of a brand. run a business, basically. And I didn't know that at the time. So I worked my butt off, and I, thank God, I had a couple of great teammates who taught me what all that meant and shared it with me. And I swear to God, there were a number of nights where I slept on the floor of my office because I was in there until 3 a.m. What took everybody else, you know, 2 hours to do, it would take me 2 days because I had to figure all this out. And again, I tell you that story because for two reasons. One, I was running a brand, not doing its marketing. Yeah, of course, you did its marketing, but that's not what the heart of the job was. And second, even though I had no clue what they were talking about when they left, I learned it. I adapted. And in today's world, with technology being as big an enabler as it is, you always take advantage of those opportunities. And I quickly learned how to tear apart a P&L and, you know, and to this day, the two bosses who are now very good friends, they said, you had no clue what we were talking about, did you? We could see it in your eyes. I thought, Jesus, I didn't hide it very well, but yeah. So I did that and I learned those fundamentals. And whenever you get in a week, it took a little longer than a week, but you know, whenever you get that chance to really, you might think you know it all, but until you're actually front line, take the opportunity to learn those fundamentals.
How old were you, dude, when you were sleeping on the floor of the office?
I would have been 22 and, you know, I thought I had the world by the tail. I got $20,000, right? Well, that's great, but I had nowhere to spend it because I was sleeping on the floor of my office. So, you know, it was learning it sometimes the hard way makes it last longer. I don't know about you,
I know exactly. Same with me. I mean, there were times. So my first job, speaking of that initial salary, was $13,500. I was living in northern Manitoba as a newspaper reporter. Yeah. And there were constantly stories that came up where I didn't know anything about the story, but I had to write a story summarizing and providing insight by the end of the day. So you had to talk to the experts and research, and pre-internet was a lot harder, right? No ChatGPT or anything like that.
Right.
But yeah, I know that. But the funny thing about pressure is it can focus you.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. And if you let it focus you as opposed to scare you and paralyze you, it's a wonderful learning experience. And it develops what I've come to refer to over my career as professional maturity, not personal. I'm not talking about your though the two are obviously intertwined at certain points, but professional maturity and learning it the hard way, like you had to do, it helps develop that professional maturity. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, whenever you get the chance to get a good dose of that, which also means don't go in thinking you know it all, because I can tell you right now, you don't. So I did that and then went on to see whether or not I could, you know, transfer those brand management skills into a different sector. So I joined American Express, was recruited from GF to do that, and managed all of their, initially their marketing, so their advertising across all their products, and then was asked to work in their product development area for cards, and created the Platinum Card, which you know a lot of people have today. Every time somebody pays for it in a restaurant, I kind of go, yeah, I remember that. And there's a whole bunch of fun stories related to that, but that's another time. And then was asked by Labatt to come in because I had this brand management experience. The interprovincial trade barriers had come down. So the rules of the game overnight changed. You no longer needed a brewery in every single province to be able to sell the product in the province. And that was the rule at the time. So very forward-looking, the senior management of Labatt said, look, we want to create national capabilities. And our brands and our brand management are a key part of that. But we've had are regional or provincial marketing groups. So we're going to create this national brand management team. So they brought myself and one other gentleman from outside and two from inside Labatt. And we started from scratch. And so really I was drawing on all that stuff that I'd learned the hard way at General Foods and at American Express and put the processes and the systems and the information and the kind of analysis and planning that was required. and introduced it to an environment that had never really done it this way.
Hmm. So that was out of the blue?
That was one of the campaigns that came out of it. Yeah. But I was lucky enough to, over the course of my career there, work on every single brand that Labatt produced. Hmm. So Budweiser and Bud Light and
Keith's.
Keith's was one of my babies. Yeah. Kokanee out in British Columbia. So made some big mistakes on some of them, which is another topic for learning.
You actually mentioned that. You said when you started your own company, the reason you actually felt comfortable starting it was because you felt so informed by your mistakes, right?
Oh, exactly. And, you know, luckily by then with the Labatt experience under my, because that experience wasn't just turned into bigger than just Canada, because we were expanding into the US. We bought a brewery in Mexico, started a joint venture in the Dominican, Venezuela, and then we did the deal with the Belgians and created, back then we called it Interbrew. So today, AB InBev. So it's the largest brewery in the world now. Mm. So I had a chance to play and see how these brands were managed successfully or not in multiple countries. And then started Chorus Entertainment with those two bosses that I talked about from General Foods years.
They were with you at Chorus as well?
Yeah, well, John Cassidy, who was the key guy, he was the CEO. And it was John that called me and said, hey, we hear that you not want to move to Belgium. Or said another way, your wife doesn't want to move to Belgium. So why don't you join us? And I was at that point starting to think about, I've been doing this a long time. I want to see if I can, it's the biggest brand and marketing job in the country at the time. I'm going to go all the way 180 and I'm going to start something all by myself until the other boss, who I referred to, said, well, that's all great, but what do you know about starting a company? I thought, that's actually quite a good insight, because I always worked in big corporate environments. And they said, hey, look, John's going to be starting this specialty media company. And John called me and said, look, we've got something really interesting here and we want to build it out, but we need a chief marketing officer. So I joined them. So I say all this because all of those different experiences, those corporate experiences, were at different stages of my career. But in each one of them, I learned a ton. And most of what I learned from were the mistakes that I made. And luckily, I worked for people that, you know, were open enough to allow you to make mistakes as long as you learn from them. But it's, you know, when you're dealing with high stakes corporate, like, don't make the same mistake twice, Dave, sort of thing. So you are put into a real learning mindset. And I love that. So it was with all of the learning that I had, that's kind of what the foundation of why I started Level 5.
Do you have any examples of mistakes you made that were particularly helpful in terms of learning lessons as you move forward?
Well, there's two or three that have been, or case studies in universities. So I'm not sure I'm proud of that, but there is a very famous one, Kokanee, that I mentioned. Molson Canadian was really knocking us with Labatt Blue, which was our flagship brand. And they were really getting the young adults, so 19 to 24 year olds. And they were doing a great job, and we weren't. That's as simple as that. So I learned a lot from that. But the one brand we had out on the West Coast that was kind of funky and different and cool was Kokanee.
I remember Kokanee, yeah.
And we thought, okay, well, why don't we try and launch it in Ontario, almost like our end run of Molson Canadian, keep Blue healthy, but end run it and squeeze it with Kokanee. And we thought, that's a good idea. So we did all the research, got everything ready to go. And in the final, or one of the final management committee meetings, the president of the Ontario region put up his hand kind of at the last second and said, well, whoa, what do you mean you're bringing it in from BC? I said, well, it's made in Creston with glacier fresh water. Like, it's a big part of the, and you want the authenticity of BC. He goes, yeah. You marketers can figure out how to tell that story. I've got a plant running at 60% capacity utilization. You're going to make it here. So we got into a bit of a tussle, and short story is that he won. And he won because I gave in. I knew it wasn't right. I had all the data to support that point of view. But again, back to brand management versus just marketing, I looked at it as, but there's a bigger business issue. We've got to big expensive brewery that's not running at full capacity. So yeah, I'm going to try to do this marketing fix. I knew in my gut it wasn't right, but I let my head overrule. And let's just say we launched with Ontario Produced Kokanee and it took off. And it just, and it all came out of Molson Canadian. So it was bang on strategy. It was working great. And after the first 2 or 3 months, I think we got up to like 8 or 10 share, which each share point's worth like 30 million. So that's a lot of beer, right? And everyone was happy. And the president of Ontario was chuckles. They say, I told you this would be great. Until we woke up one morning in the middle of the summer, and there was a full page ad on the back of the sports section of the Globe and Mail and all of the other major dailies. And the headline was BC or BS. And a big picture of Kokanee, the bottle. And they proceed to basically say, hey, did you know that Kokanee you're drinking isn't real? It's not authentic. It's from British. It's, you know, it's with brewed with Lake Ontario tap water, which wasn't fully true, but they were making a point. And boom, like that. That was 8 to 9 share points, went down to about 2.
Wow. Over how long a time period?
A month.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I tell you the story because it's kind of funny now.
And these ads were taken out by your rival.
Obviously. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're paying ads showing my product, but basically saying they're lying to you or they're trying to mislead you and hide it, right? So, which, hey, facts of the fact, that's kind of what we were doing. So, again, my gut was right. I should have fought for what I knew was right. Mm. And that's why having a strong brand strategy rooted in consumer market insight, not production and everything else that those are all considerations that obviously affect the margin and the profitability of the brand. But if it doesn't sell with the consumer, it doesn't matter how efficient you are with your production. Right.
Yeah.
And I let that slip and I thought, you know, I'm never going to let that happen again. And within a year we launched Keith's, which was our jewel in Nova Scotia. And we launched it across Canada, and every single drop came from Halifax, Nova Scotia. And it's even today, it's still a very strong brand in their portfolio.
I love Keith's, yeah.
And when I launched Stella Artois in North America, it was it's coming from Belgium, and it came with all the stuff that surrounded the brand. Mm. So I learned to be focus the strategy and be authentic.
I was just going to say that was the issue with Kokanee, right? Yeah. And they saw that to their credit and capitalized.
And they saw weakness.
And what can you do? Yeah. You can't do anything about that, right?
Because they were basically telling the truth, right?
Yeah.
And I wasn't.
You have been listening to The Dean's Desk with Kurt Mueller, Dean of the Faculty of Communication, Art, and Design, produced by Seneca's Radio Broadcasting students.